something that we normally see whenever there's a visiting Anim comes to our shores, somebody from out of town comes. So they normally give an introduction, who this person is, what work he's doing, etc. So the reason for the introduction is not to praise the person, but just so that the audience that's sitting there, they appreciate and they understand who the person is. So now they know with what mindset to listen to the talk. So some respect or some regard for the speaker comes into their heart through the ta'aruf, through the introduction. Now one tragedy of ours is that when we come to Medina Munawara, then we don't take the time out, or myself, I'm not talking about you, you may be doing it, but I don't take the time out to really try and understand who I'm going to meet. The person goes somewhere, now he wants to know, right, what's that person's tabiat, what type of gift must take for him, what he likes, what he doesn't like. Even the kuffar understand this. The Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah, while they were mushrikeen, when they wanted to go to Abyssinia, and I was very happy that we came through Ethiopia, because that is the land of the first hijrat, Sahaba Nonumid. So khair, so when they were going there to talk to Najashi, so they found out, what does he like? They said, no, he really likes the leather from South, from Arabia. He likes the leather. So they took goods of leather for him. So person is getting married also. He wants to find out somehow through the some cousin or dozen or something what she likes, what chocolate she likes, what color she likes. So he wants to do all, prepare all those things. That's if they're not in a haram relationship. Today, unfortunately, children are in haram relationships. They're finding out more than what the parents can find out. Allah guide our children, guide us all. But khair, so the mistake we make is that when we're coming to Medina Munawara, then we are not really finding out that where am I going? Who am I going to meet? This is why our Hazrat Mu'iz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to always advise that read a seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Before you going for Umrah, read one seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Last night, we were standing there in the front, and there was a group, I think it was a Turkish group. Now, we can't understand Turkish language, but you know what the person is saying. He's giving the, he's explaining to that group the whole wafat of Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. In detail, he's explaining now how Ma'isha radiallahu anha softened the miswak, put it in his Mubarak mouth. He is looking at the miswak in the pocket of the brother of Ma'isha radiallahu anha, and she understood. She understood. And this is muhabbat. This is muhabbat, that we must understand what's required of us. True dhikrullah, true muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala is that whatever is the command of Allah Ta'ala that's directed to me at that time, I must fulfill it. Our Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda Sahib Naun Barakatuh, last Thursday's majlis, whole majlis was on making our desire the desire of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything in my life, how I'm doing it must be how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have wanted it done. So Hazrat used to advise that read a seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so that we understand where we're going, who we're going to make salam in front of, where are we going. So there's a lot of things that Hazrat used to mention, but this is two articles that I thought I'll read out to you, and we can realize the greatness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at least some realization I will get. This Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to always emphasize that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't become a Nabi when he was 40 years of age. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of his nubuwat at 40. He didn't become a Nabi at that time. He was already decreed and declared a Nabi while Nabi Adam alayhi salam was not even created as yet. He was already declared. If Allah Ta'ala was not going to create Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala would not have created anything. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to always sing the couplet that agar Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, agar Muhammad na hote, to kuch bhi na hota. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not to be, then there would have been nothing. Na Qibla, na Kaaba, na Makkah, Medina. There wouldn't have been no Qibla, there would have been no Kaaba Sharif, there would have been no Medina Sharif, no Makkah Sharif, nothing. Agar Muhammad na hote, to kuch bhi na hota. Allah Ta'ala only created everything else out of his love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's like a father, a wealthy father, he gets his son married or his daughter married, and now he does things for the couple. So if he got his son married to a certain girl, he would never have done anything for that girl. But because that girl now became his daughter-in-law, so now she is getting, whoever the daughter-in-law would have been, she would have been the fortunate one. The father bought one house, gave one motor car, did this, did that. He's only doing it because that's my son married to her, or that's my daughter married to him. Otherwise, that person would have just been another ordinary person on the street. So we, whatever we receiving is only because we are ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, what worth do we have? Because of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's maqam in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, because of the love that Allah Ta'ala has for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala gives his ummat. Wallahi, we don't know how much we are receiving. In the Hadith Sharif, the mafhum of the Hadith Sharif, that the previous ummats, like the Jews now, they have to work from Fajr time till Zuhr time to earn a certain amount of sawab. Just an illustration, example. And the Christians have to work from Zuhr time right till Asr time, Hanafi Asr time, just to earn a certain amount of sawab. And the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will work from Asr to Maghrib. Hanafi Asr to Maghrib. And they will surpass the thawab, what they earned in those many, many hours. The ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will just put in 1 hour, but they will surpass the previous ummahs. There are so many things like that. Qurbani meat. The previous ummahs, they couldn't partake of it. This ummah eats it. Namaz from 50 brought down to 5, but getting the sawab of 50. All just out of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your ummah will be first to go to Jannah. Your ummah, a general azab will not come on them. The whole ummah is destroyed like previous ummahs. So all this we're getting just because we are the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But have we understood who that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is? So Hazrat used to say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't become a Nabi when he was 40 years old. He was a Nabi from long before even Adam alayhi salam was created. Yes, Allah Ta'ala informed him of his nubuwat. And Hazrat used to give this example, which is very, very apt. They shouldn't call him the Rumi of the time for nothing. People, today everybody give titles to everybody. But Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, his specialty was to explain things through examples. but his was in poetry form. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had this gift that he could explain things very, very simply in examples, through examples. So Hazrat gave this example, said that a lady is expecting a child and she is the wife of a billionaire, very wealthy person, right? Hazrat may have said millionaire in his days. We have to change it to billionaire now because millionaire is gone nothing today. Everybody is millionaire today. So, khair. So, this husband passes away while the baby is still in the womb. So, this baby doesn't know what it's worth. But the effect of that wealth will already be on this child. That whatever medical treatment the mother needs, it will be top treatment. That whatever money can buy, whatever she can afford, according to that wealth, that's the medical treatment she'll get. Then this child will be born not in an ordinary hospital. This child, when the child is born, now the clothing, all that would be of a certain standard. Because he is a wealthy person. He is the only heir. Him and his mother are the heirs to this estate. And he is the major heir. Right? Others, the mother will get her small share from there. But the main share is going to this child. So already this wealth, you can see it. The signs of him being a wealthy person, already you see it. His ta'aneem, his growing, but he doesn't know anything. He's a small child, what does he understand? But the signs are already there. And then when this person now becomes of age, then now they make him surround with the accountant, and they say, see, boy, this is what you are worth. This is what your father left for you, this is how we invested it for you, and this is what you are worth today. So now he begins to understand his worth. Right? So you take this example now and bring it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already a Nabi. And when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, from before he was born, there were already signs of his nubuwwat. Signs of his nubuwwat. The moment he was born, what things happened in this world? The moment he was born, the jinnat, now they couldn't even go up to the skies properly. Today's time, our people, we give too much of power to the jinnat. We give too much of everything that happens in our life, no jadu. Jinnat did this, jinnat did that. Too much power we're giving to the jinnat. The day Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, the strength of the shayateen was cut. Yes, when we detach ourselves from that link with Allah Ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then sometimes these shayateen, they get some ghalba over us for a short while. But if we remain holding the rope of Allah Ta'ala and sticking to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their onslaught will continue. It won't be able to harm us too much. So there are many things that the pillars of the Majusis, castles, the pillars cracked, fell down. Many, many things happened at the time when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And then after that, in fact, before that, Ma Amina, Nabi sallallahu alaihi respected mother, what she mentioned with regards to the time when she was carrying Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the womb. And then after that, as he was growing up, the different signs. So all the signs were there that this is the final Nabi, the greatest Nabi, the greatest after Allah Ta'ala, that everybody was awaiting. Right? So I just want to read these two articles today. So while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in the care of Abdul Muttalib, the Quraysh. Now this is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a small child between 6 years and 8 years now, right? because that's the time he spent with his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, those 2 years. So the Quraysh were undergoing drought and famine. This drought and famine continued for a few years until one day a certain woman called out to the Quraysh and advised them that they should make dua for rain through the intermediary of this Mubarak child. She is pointing to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, make dua that Allah Ta'ala must give rain through his barakat. As it is hoped that Allah Ta'ala will send down rain through his blessings, through his barakat. So hearing this, Abdul Muttalib immediately stood up and with great love and affection, he carried Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, placed him on his shoulder. Then through the intermediary of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began making dua for rain. And it was not long thereafter that Allah Ta'ala blessed them with rainfall. Now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, this was at the time between 6 years old and 8 years old. Abdul Muttalib had great love for Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus he would always show him special attention. In fact, his love, compassion and kindness for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even exceeded the love, compassion and kindness which he had for his own children also. You know, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that our iman cannot be complete until we don't love him more than we love anything and everything, more than we love even ourselves. So Umar radiallahu anh, he mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that definitely I love you more than anyone and anything else. But with regards to myself, that I don't. We must think also, do I love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than I love myself? If I love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than I love myself, then I'll put his sunnah before my desires, my feelings, my wants. I'll put his sunnah in front, if I love him more. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar Ranan again, your iman will not be complete until you don't love me more than you love yourself. Umar Radlani contemplated for a while and then he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now I love you more than I love even myself. And they proved it. They proved it. They proved it. They gave their lives for it. Such was his deep attachment to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that at the time of meals, he would not eat without Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being present. Before eating, he would say, bring my beloved grandson to me. And it was only after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought and seated with him that he would commence eating. Abdul Muttalib knew well that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an extremely special child who will be divinely chosen and selected by Allah Ta'ala in the world, and he knew that a time will come in the world when people will greatly revere him, honor him and praise him. I don't think there is anyone in this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not even present on the surface of the earth where we can meet him and talk to him. But there's no moment when there's nobody going to make salam to him. What honor Allah Ta'ala has given. It is narrated that prior to the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Muttalib had seen a dream. He dreamt that an iron chain appeared from his back. One end of the chain extended towards the sky, and the other towards the earth, another towards the west, and another towards the east. After some time, the chain transformed into a tree. Every leaf of the tree was glittering with brightness, 70 times more intense than the brilliance of the sun. People from the east as well as the west were clinging onto its branches. Some of the Quraysh were also holding onto the branches of this tree, while a few others from the Quraysh were determined to chop the tree down. Whenever this group decided to approach the tree to cut it down, an extremely handsome young man came and pushed them aside. In interpretation of his dream, Abdul Muttalib was informed that a boy will be born from his progeny. People from the east to the west will follow him. The beings of the heavens as well as the earth will sing his praises. It was on account of this dream that Abdul Muttalib kept the name of this Mubarak child Muhammad, which means the one who is extremely praised, Muhammad. There is a kitab which is an explanatory notes of Mishkat Sharif. Madaire Haq is called. So the author, he writes there under the commentary of one of the Ahadir. He says that what is the decoration of Jannat? The decoration of Jannat is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That every leaf of Jannat has got the name of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every tree in Jannat, every leaf has got Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name written on it. Even the hoors of Jannat, their lockets have got the name of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abdul Muttalib was always greatly concerned for the safety of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would try to keep him safe and protected at all times. It is reported that once Abdul Muttalib addressed Hazrat Ayman radiallahu anha. Her name was Baraka, and she was responsible for looking after Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is Allah Ta'ala's fazl. This is why we must never ever think that anything is our own achievement. Nothing is our achievement, wallahi. You take Ayman, she's a slave woman. She's working there for the family. And Abdul Muttalib puts Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her care. Now where her maqam went? Where her stages went. Dai Halima radiallahu anha, everybody came and picked up a baby. Allah Ta'ala had it in her taqdeer, she's going to pick up Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this only Allah Ta'ala's fazal, Allah's karam, Allah's ihsan, anything in our life. If Allah brings us for Umrah, Allah brings us to Madina Munawara, Allah makes our child a hafiz, Allah allows us to do something. Allah allows us to be generous. Allah Ta'ala allows us to teach somebody something. Whatever. Everything is only the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. Only the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. Nothing. Nothing of our achievements. So he addressed her and he said to her that, "Oh Baraka, ensure that you do not become negligent with regards to taking care and protecting my grandchild." The Ahle Kitab, now must remember, keep in mind, this is when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is between 6 and 8 years old. Abdul Muttalib is telling her, the Ahle Kitab, most probably referring more to the Jews. Ahle Kitab is the Jews and the Christians, but here it was more, because more Jews were living in their midst at that time. He said, the Ahle Kitab claim that my grandson will be the Nabi of this Ummat. This is why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. they recognized Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like how a father recognizes his son. But it was just this pride in them, nationalistic pride, that refused to allow them to accept Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I must ask myself, what's refusing me? Why am I refusing to accept the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The ways of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is stopping me? 10 excuses I can make. But the main excuse is my own ego. My own pride. My own ego is stopping me from following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, sometimes I don't like to say certain things because the recorder is on. Remind me when we finish and the recorder is off. Okay. So just as Abdul Muttalib was convinced that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be divinely chosen by Allah Ta'ala one day in the world, and it was for this reason that he was concerned about his safety and protection at all times. Similarly, his beloved and respected mother Amina was also convinced that this child will one day be divinely chosen by Allah Ta'ala in the world. It is reported that during the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina Munawwara with his mother Amina, some of the Jews of Medina Munawwara had seen him and recognized him as the final Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala had already mentioned in their scriptures the signs to look for. So they knew what signs they are going to find, who is going to be the final Nabi. And the whole reason that they were living there was they were awaiting the final Nabi. But they thought he's going to come from the Bani Israel. So Ayman radiallahu anha, who was also present with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara at that time, says that one day two men from the Jews of Medina Munawwara, the Jews were living here, they came past. There was a king that went past, and he used to have this group of Jews with him who were learned in the Torah. So when they came to Medina Munawwara and they saw the land, they told this king, no, this is the place. The deen of the final Nabi is going to spread from this place. So he built the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. So we all see that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radhiyallahu anhu. No, it's the other way around. Abu Ayyub Ansari radhiyallahu anhu was living in the house of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He built that house, the king. And he left the Jews there. And he said, now you'll stay here and you'll await. And when he comes, you'll give him this house. So that's how the Jews were living here in Medina Munawwara. They were awaiting the coming of the final Nabi. So one day two men from the Jews of Medina Munawwara came to me and they said, bring the boy named Ahmad to us. We wish to see him. Nabi was named Muhammad, Ahmad. So after I brought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before them, they began to look at him. They're looking at him from the front. After which, they made him turn around. They said, turn around. And then they looked at him from the back. Thereafter, one of them addressed the other and said, this boy. He said, this boy is the Nabi of this Ummah. And this place, meaning Medina Munawwara, is the land to which he will perform his hijrah, and he will migrate to Medina Munawwara. He will leave Makkah Mukarramah and come to Medina Munawwara. When Amina heard of what had transpired and what the Jews had said regarding her son, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she began to fear for his safety. You see, this is the Jew. You must understand the mentality of the Jew. you would think that these Jews now knew that this is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now they'll have so much of love for him. This is the final Nabi. But Ma Amina understood their brain. So this is why she got very worried when they now, you know, identified that this is the last Nabi. She began to fear for his safety. And she left Madina Munawwara to return to Makkah Mukarrama. See, she had brought Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madina Munawwara. Right? Because her family was all from here. So she wanted to come and meet her family, show her child, everything. But when they identified Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then she said, no, she needs to go away quickly, back to Makkah Mukarrama. There, his family is there, they will be able to protect him. So she returned to Makkah Mukarrama. But she was going for the safety of her child. But when they reached Abwa, on the return journey, she passed away. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Allah Ta'ala took away the father of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. Then he went into the care of his mother. Allah Ta'ala took his mother away when he was still a small child. That too while on Safar. We say, no, Allah Pak could have taken the mother away while in Madina Munawwara. Allah Ta'ala could have let them reach Makkah Mukarrama. But no, Allah Ta'ala took the mother away while they're traveling on Safar. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes to Makkah Mukarrama and there he goes into the care of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, for only 2 years. Grandfather shows him so much of muhabbat, so much of love. But this is only allowed for 2 years. And then Allah Ta'ala takes the grandfather away. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes into the care of his uncle, Abu Talib. Abu Talib, he had many children and he was a wealthy person. But after that, he lost his wealth too. He too went into financial difficulty. This is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam later on took Ali radiallahu anhu into his care to lessen the pressure on Abu Talib. So Hazrat used to say that it seems as though Allah Ta'ala didn't want any person to lay claim that I looked after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala protected him. Allah Ta'ala looked after him. Allah Ta'ala educated him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained in the care of his grandfather for a period of 2 years. Then Abdul Muttalib bid farewell to this world. There are different narrations with regards to Abdul Muttalib's age. Right? Some say he was 82, 85, 95, 110, 120. So he was buried in a place called Hajun. Prior to him passing away, he handed Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam over to his son Abu Talib, who was the full brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's respected father Abdullah. At the time of handing him over to Abu Talib, Abdul Muttalib made a wasiyat, and he said to him, "You raise him and care for him with the greatest affection and love. Greatest affection and love." And once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked whether he could recall the death of his grandfather, and Abdul Muttalib, the death of Abdul Muttalib. So Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Yes, I recall the event as I was 8 years old at the time." Hazrat Ayman radiallahu anha says, when Abdul Muttalib's janazah was lifted, I recall seeing Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam walking behind the janazah and weeping. So Allah Ta'ala give us least some understanding of who our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. And give us tawfiq to appreciate this great, great ni'mat Allah ta'ala allowed us here in his city, allowing us to go and make salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, when you go to make salam, you mustn't worry about anything else. Don't worry about what's written on the walls and what the... Don't worry about nothing. The decor and the lighting. The light is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our heart must just be connected there. And when there is a crowd, be happy. So many more lovers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the crowd allows you to stand longer too. Let them go, who's pushing, let them go, why get upset? Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, Daud Barakat, always gives this advice, and I try to keep it in my mind while making tawaf, while walking here sometime. Crowd, he say, if that man saw you, why you looked at him? Why did you look at him? If he saw you, he insulted you, keep walking. You do your work. So what if he insulted you, if he saw you? Why you turn around to look at him? You mustn't even want to know who he is. Just leave it. Keep walking. Go. So you go there, Allah Ta'ala accept. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say something happens here. What it is, Allah knows. But something happens over there. At the Roza Mubarak, something happens there. But a person needs to have his bucket right side up. Hazrat used to say, you take your bucket, you go to Niagara Falls, so much of water coming down there. But you got the bucket upside down, or you got holes in the bucket. What water are you going to collect? Hazrat used to give this example in the masjid. You see, we're sitting here in the masjid, there's radio waves. If we got a radio and we tune in, we can catch it. So here at Kaaba Sharif, here by Rosa, there's waves of Muhammad. There's energies, spiritual energies that are flowing. Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat are coming down. Barakat, anwarat are coming down. We got to tune into that. We want to start worrying about what that fellow is doing, what this fellow is doing. I was hearing a few brothers sitting next to me, is our time. They're probably also South African brothers from the accent. So they're explaining the different scarves, one for each and the other. You know, each color got a different meaning. And the manner in which you tie it also got a different... So he's explaining that if you tie it like this, it's called that. You tie it like that, it's called this. I can't even remember all the terminologies. But that's not what we came for. That's not what we came for. What we came for is to tune in there. Allah Ta'ala sent Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a guide to mankind. We want Hidayat. We want Hidayat. We want to get connected to Allah Ta'ala. That's what we want out of this safar. Everything else, leave it one side. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq.